You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We just heard from a disappointed head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Rob Chudzinski. Still to come, Gerard Cherry joins us in hour number two, and I also want to let you know that the best fans in the NFL need their gear. Shop the best selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop with new arrivals each week. Visit the store at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or go to shop.clevelandbrowns.com to shop from the convenience of your home. Lots of barks from the dog pound here on this Therapy Monday. Let's go now to Vince in Cincinnati. Vince, welcome to the show.
I called in last week.
Yes.
My prediction came true. Kind of a strange game. I thought the defense played well, but I thought even when Joe Hayden played well up front, they kind of celebrated on the sideline for getting the three more quarters to play. Second quarter, you know, obviously it was a dominating quarter by Cincinnati. I just thought the game was too big for them, coaching as well. I think there's a lot they can learn from, you know, going forward. So I just want to hear you guys' take on that.
Very good points, Vince. Yep. I agree with everything you just said. You have to handle success. The early success in a game is something you have to manage and handle, and you can't get too exuberant and celebrate so much that you forget you've got more game to play. I think there's some truth to what you just said there. Coaching as well, I want to give credit to what the Bengals did, mostly from a defensive side. I don't think schematically Jay Gruden had a great game against Ray Horton. I'm going to give the edge to the Browns defense for that, for sure. But I think what I will give the coaching staff and Marvin Lewis especially credit for is keeping his guys dialed in and focused when all hell was breaking loose for them.
Absolutely, and that's what they did. Good teams take advantage of mistakes, and mistakes were made by the Cleveland Browns, and I think you make a lot of good points, Vince, that at times it appeared to be the moment maybe was too big for the Browns. I don't think that the Bengals did anything that blew me away and said to me, wow, this is a vastly superior team. I think on this day, the Browns were an inferior team in what they did in their punt protection, the costly turnovers, etc., and they have some learning to do. The Bengals are still a team that, whether or not they've won a playoff game, has gone to the playoffs 2 years in a row. They know what it takes to win meaningful games in November and December and get yourself there. The Browns are still learning that, and I think that's Vince's point, and I think it's a very good one.
Great point.
All right, let's go quickly to Charles in Cleveland. What's up, Charles?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Earlier, you were talking about running backs as far as, like, the Browns potentially going after a running back in the draft or something like that. Well, I was on the website maybe 2 months ago, and I typed in, you know, the top running backs of 2013 that's in college right now. Number one, there was this running back. His last name was Gurley. He was from Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Number two, there was T.J. Yeldon.
Yep, from Alabama.
And number three, there was this guy named Kadeem Carey from Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Now, I read on their stats and everything. Kadeem Carey, even though he was ranked number three last year, his numbers, like, totally destroyed the two running backs' numbers that was right before him. And I was just wondering, like, do you know anything more about this Kadeem Carey? Because I have yet to see him. But, like, from what I was reading, like, his last year's stats, I mean, he had almost 2,000 yards rushing. He had about 600 or 700 yards receiving. He had the most yards per carry. You know, I mean, this guy seems like, And plus, from what I hear, he's quick too. You know, like he has like a 4.4 speed or whatnot. And I was wondering, like, could that potentially be the type of back that the Browns could use to fit their scheme things, like on the offense?
Yeah, and then Charles, thank you for the call. I have not broken down and studied enough of these guys yet to give you a deeper analysis that will come as we get closer to the end of the season, and especially as we get past this season and do all our pre-draft prep. We'll be drilling down into this draft, not only with our analysis, we'll be bringing in a lot of national voices who study this year-round, and very thoroughly you'll hear from a lot of people, personnel people, the Bill Polians of the world, from ESPN, etc. But that said, the profile of this player, just looking at it in a cursory way, yeah, I think athletically he could fit the mold of what they're looking for. But here's the thing. This is first blush now, I wouldn't get overly excited about the thought of the Browns investing a very high pick, and I'm not sure you need one for this player, but you might, at the running back position. I think the investment at the higher end are going to be positions like quarterback, like wide receiver, like offensive line. Somewhere in there, yeah, can running back be addressed? Yes. But if I'm consistent with my understanding of the philosophy of Joe Banner, the CEO, Michael Lombardi, the GM, how they're going to go about things, running back is going to be something you find in that middle area, Nathan.
And I think that's really kind of the general feeling in the NFL. I mean, Look at last year's draft. The first running back taken was Giovanni Bernard in the second round. So there will be options with the two third rounders. Maybe that's where you move back into the second round, grab a running back, or wait till the third round. There are a lot of guys out there that I think could be potentially good fits. Kadeem Carey at Arizona. Obviously, we were talking, Vic and I, earlier about Melvin Gordon at Wisconsin. There are lots of people that will be examined. And this Browns team, believe me, if they can get an explosive dynamic back, it's going to make everything easier for this offense. And for whatever, for whomever the quarterback is that they draft to be the quarterback of the future of this team. All right, we got time for one more quick call here. Let's go. Tony in Youngstown, welcome to CBD with Nathan Zagura and the notorious VIC Vic Carucci.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. I love your show.
Thank you.
You know, one thing, I agree with Vince. It's not even the mistakes the Browns make. It's the mental mistakes they make. Did anybody ever has brought up about Jordan Cameron running out of bounds at the end of the first half? You know, that was huge because we were within two scores at 28-13. They had a third and 15, and he threw him a two-yard pass, and he made a beeline for out of bounds. And I'm thinking, what is he doing? I mean, he stopped the clock, and the Bengals did not have to use their last timeout, and in turn they got a field goal to make it 31-13. And I think when you're a marginal team like the Browns, you have to be mentally sharp and in the game.
Small things.
You know, in grade school, I had a coach who used to always say, down and distance, down and distance. When you come to the line, you have to know down and distance. And how many times this year have we run a four-yard pattern when we need five? And then, you know, on the punt, when the guy, our nose guard, is right in front of the ball, and I'm saying, please snap it. And sure enough, Cincinnati didn't snap it. And he jumps offside and gives them the first down. But I was surprised by the Jordan Cameron thing. Nobody's brought that up, but he ran out of bounds when he only gained 2 yards. He had no chance of getting to 15, and if he did, he didn't even try. He just ran straight out of bounds. And I think the Bengals were happy to just go to halftime at 28-13. That gave them the opportunity to come downfield and make it a three-score game.
Good points. And it's details you have to learn.
Yes, details. And that's what winning teams do. Winning teams master the details. Yeah. They slide down as opposed to running out of bounds. They are smart and intelligent in that way. And this is a learning experience for the Browns. Again, nobody was saying this team this year, as constructed, was a Super Bowl favorite. But you wanted to see them take steps. They are. And I think the most important thing to me is that while this game didn't go as any of us would have liked, that they learn from this experience and use it to be better the next time they're faced with such an important game.
So we go inside the locker room on this show. We like to do that for you regularly here. And Jameer Howerton from ClevelandBrowns.com sitting down today with Tayshawn Gibson. Take it away, Jameer.
Thanks, Vic. Tayshawn, if you could just break down yesterday's game, how tough was this loss?
It was a tough loss, seeing how we was all in contention for the first place division lead and things like that. Anytime you come into a meaningful game like that, you definitely want to go out there and put your best foot forward. And I think that they truly just they made plays when they counted, especially in the special teams and defensively on their part, and they was able to capitalize. And you know that's the way the game worked. And you know, the score kind of showed the outcome of the game and kind of showed the way the game was working for them. You know, they was getting a lot of breaks, and unfortunately for us, not much we could have done about it. And, you know, just got to go back to the drawing board this week.
What was your mindset defensively? Because you look at the way you guys played. You've held Dalton to under 100 yards, and you guys just really lights out dominated.
Yeah, well, anytime you have a defensive performance like that, the score definitely wouldn't be 41-20. But not pointing any fingers at nobody. I mean, it's just a lot of things that everybody could have done better. And I think that it all just started of us as a team, you know, offensively, defensively, as well as special teams. I tip my hat off, man, to all those guys. When you watch film, man, nobody gave up, nobody quit. Everybody was fighting, and, you know, unfortunately, they was getting the ball in good field position due to their good special teams play yesterday, and they was able to capitalize on those. And you know, but like I said, anytime you can have the type of defensive output that we had, generally it's a win.
How important will it be for you guys to stay focused this week, because you have a 4-6 Pittsburgh Steelers team coming in? It's going to be another big game for the Browns.
Oh, well, it's definitely important that you want to go out here and put our best foot forward. As I said before, you got a good Steelers team coming in. They're pretty hot right now. I think they're 4-2 in their last six games. So, you know, they've definitely been pretty hot. And they got a good quarterback at the helm. You know, everybody knows about Big Ben. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, Pro Bowl quarterback. I have nothing but respect for him. And they got guys that's able to step up, get the ball, catch the ball. And that's our main thing. We just want to go out there and definitely put our best guys out there on their best guys and kind of see what happens. I'm definitely confident in what we're going to do defensively, offensively, and special teams. And it's going to be an exciting matchup in AFC North come Sunday.
Tayshaun, thank you for your time and good luck to you.
Thank you, too.
Back to you, Vic.
All right, Jameer, thank you very much. And Tayshaun Gibson, appreciate you being with us. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Gerard Cherry, the third regular that you hear each day on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura on a Therapy Monday. Hang around for the rest of it with us, please. ESPN 50 WKNR. Like the legend of the finger.